Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I am joined in studio by Fred Jackson, News Director for American Family News and One News Now. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Good to be back here again.
And Walker Wildman, AFA Vice President of Operations, also in studio. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning, Ed. Good to be here with you.
And then from Kansas City, a bright star shining in the darkness, Ray Pritchard, founder of Keep Believing Ministries, who is preparing for very, very cold weather. Is that true, Ray?
Oh, we've got, you know, we've had a couple of days above freezing, which is a nice change. But they say tonight down to 17 and 4 inches of snow tomorrow. So frigid weather on the way here in Kansas.
Man, you know, I know that Kansas gets cold weather. I guess I just never thought of it as being a cold weather place like the Dakotas or Minnesota or, you know, Colorado or something. But what is it? You guys are just flat? Is that why you get such cold weather or what?
Well, you know, in the spring and summer, we're in the tornado belt, right? The stuff that comes up from Oklahoma. And in the winter,
you can't win.
These Alberta Clippers and Saskatchewan Screamers come down and they just clobber us, and then they make their way into the Midwest. I didn't check all this out before we moved here, but I have discovered it the hard way.
Yeah, but there's another reason why you moved up there. It was for family. So,
oh yes,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It's going to be cold tonight, but our two grandkids are coming over to spend the night with us, so it's all good.
Good times, good times. Well, guys, for all of us here, it is a Thursday, obviously, but it's February 14th. It's Valentine's Day. And Valentine's Day, I didn't know this, I was looking up some trivia just for the show, is a popular holiday to get engaged. A 2017 study found that 43% of millennials chose Valentine's Day as their top choice of day to propose or be proposed to. And this is the 38th anniversary of the day that I asked my wife to marry me, would be tonight.
Way to go.
At dinner. So what about the rest of you guys? Valentine's Day? Did you pick Valentine's Day to get engaged or no?
Nope.
Fred? No?
Nope.
No, I didn't want anybody, any holiday to steal my shine, so I did it on my own day. So.
Well, Walker has shine. I'm not sure what that is, but Ray, what about you? Am I the only one here? So
yeah, I guess you were. So what, did you take her out to dinner?
Or yes. So,
went, you know, to what was the setting?
Reunion Tower in Dallas, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
And I could tell you a little quick story here if you guys want. It's a little testimony.
Go ahead.
Is it okay?
You've already teased us.
It's already started. No, I'm not going to. It'll take. Well, I've already started now.
Do a shortened version.
My listeners are begging for it.
That's right.
Okay, so I had planned. I was a poor Bible college student, met my wife at Bible college, worked part time, but was all that money was going to tuition and room and board. But I was planning to take her out to Reunion Tower. That's the ball on the top of the big building. And ask Diane, my girlfriend, to marry me. I had no money. And I just, Bible college student, I didn't know what else to do. I just praying and praying, God just help me. And so the night that I'm going over to pick her up, I'm walking across the parking lot. I don't have a dime in my pocket. We're going out to dinner. I don't know how God's going to do this. And my sister got off work and was driving down the street. She was also at that Bible college, saw me, whipped into the parking lot, said, "Hey, tonight's the big night." This was a surprise for Diane now. "Tonight's the big night." I said, "Yeah, yeah." And she said, "Well, you sure look nice." And she looked at me and she said, "Do you have any money?" And she knew what my situation was. I said, "No." And she gave me her paycheck. My sister did.
Wow.
And that is, I don't recommend doing that, but that is how God provided for this.
Isn't that wonderful?
This trusting but not too smart Bible college student. And that's how, and we went out to dinner, and I asked her to marry me, and she said yes. And she got sick on the fish that she ate.
Wow.
But 38 years later, the marriage is still on solid ground. So who's complaining?
Great story.
Yeah. All right. Well, Fred, let's get to some of the news of things happening around that doesn't have anything to do with engagements or Valentine's Day. Plenty going on. What's up?
No, let's talk about Andrew McCabe for a moment. He's the former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, under investigation for things he did just before he was fired as Deputy Director, but has a lot of ex-Obama people are doing these days. He's written a book, and it's about to be released, and the title of the book is The Threat. Now, The Threat, I'll give you a little inside information, is not Iran or Islamic terrorism. No, he says the threat is Donald Trump. Now, in advance of the release of his book, he has done an interview with Scott Pelley at CBS News. The whole interview, you'll see at 60 Minutes Sunday night on CBS. But they were playing some excerpts from that interview this morning. So Scott Pelley this morning, the CBS newsman, was on the CBS morning show this morning kind of teasing this interview out with Andrew McCabe. You may remember there were reports back several weeks ago that the deputy attorney general at the time, Rod Rosenstein, a name you've heard here many times, that he was asked to wear a wire as he went to meet with President Trump. Now, at the time, Rod Rosenstein said, it's a joke.
Right. Yeah. I'm just kidding around.
I'm only kidding.
Right.
Well, apparently Andrew McCabe has told Scott Pelley, we were dead serious at the Justice Department and the FBI. We wanted Rosenstein to wear a wire because we believed that this president, and even further in the interview, was a candidate for the 25th Amendment.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which is basically declares the president is not mentally fit to stay in office.
Right.
All right. So all of this apparently is in the interview and a little bit more in the book. So let's listen for a moment to Scott Pelley telling the CBS Morning Show this morning, this is going to be cut number two, that the Department of Justice, the FBI, were dead serious. They're going to try to entrap President Trump. Cut number two.
The Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, offered to wear a wire. A statement was released after that was never serious, it was sarcastic, etc. McCabe, in our interview, says no. It came up more than once, and it was so serious that he took it to the lawyers at the FBI to discuss it. They were counting noses. They were not asking cabinet members whether they would vote for or against removing the president, but they were speculating this person would be with us, that person would not be, and they were counting noses in that effort.
Now, these are the leftovers of the Obama Justice Department and the FBI, and we now know from all the information we have about Peter Strzok, FBI agent Lisa Page, these people hated Donald Trump. They couldn't believe that he won the election.
Right.
So now they were cooking up a plan to get rid of the president.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as they tried to joke about the wire with Rosenstein, the whole thing, apparently, according to this interview that Pelley has done with McCabe, that'll be airing on Sunday night, no, they were dead serious about this. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and also, I don't know how Rod Rosenstein still has a job. I'm very surprised President Trump hasn't fired him or he hasn't resigned, because we mentioned this, you know, several months ago when this story broke, and then, you know, Rosenstein said he was joking. But we all said on the show, that's not something you joke about.
No.
That's not something when you're the number two. Well, then at that time, he was the number one because Sessions wasn't even in place. I'm sorry, Comey had just been fired. But when Rosenstein being the number two law enforcement officer in the country, you don't joke about wiretapping or wearing a wire when you talk to the president. So I don't doubt McCabe in that Rosenstein was serious. And that should concern us, because what if they had succeeded?
Mm.
What if they had found enough cabinet members to do the 25th Amendment, even though President Trump doesn't qualify for the 25th Amendment? It just shows that how afraid the swamp is of President Trump.
The 25th Amendment is supposed to be for a president who's incapacitated,
right,
or otherwise unable to fulfill his duties. Ray, this is kind of startling. I don't know that in past Justice Departments and past years, who knows what's gone on behind closed doors, but you're talking about a duly elected president and an attempt, as Fred mentioned, by leftovers from the previous administration, when it's become clear that the hatred from the left towards Donald Trump and just the stunning disappointment that Hillary Clinton was not elected. You're talking about removing a duly elected president. This is getting close to a banana republic stuff.
Okay, number one, if people wonder what the president was talking about when he said drain the swamp, okay, this is it, right? This is the dirty, fetid, foul swamp that's in Washington, D.C. And if people say there's no such thing as the deep state, this is exactly what the deep state is. People who are willing to work behind the scenes to overthrow the elected president of the United States. So I want to know, guys, how come this isn't treason? How is this not an attempted, I mean, sure, you know, they were having their discussions. How is this not an attempted coup d'etat? Why aren't these people in prison? This right. is a shocking story to come out this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's a good question raising. I think that what they would defend themselves in their defense, they would say, well, we really did think he was unfit, and thus invoke the 25th Amendment. And the 25th Amendment, I think, does allow for the cabinet to decide that he's not fit. But I think that goes beyond how the 25th Amendment has ever been, invoked to accomplish. Well, so is this a treasonous attempt at a coup?
Yeah, the 25th Amendment is, there's two different ways to remove a president. There's impeachment, and then there's a 25th Amendment. The impeachment is if you just don't like the president. I just don't like him. America doesn't like him. Congress and the Senate, nobody likes him. They think he's making bad decisions. Let's remove him.
Well,
done criminal things.
Yes.
Or he's done
high crimes and misdemeanors.
Yeah, there has to be some kind of illegal conduct in there. But
While he's in office.
But then the 25th Amendment is a whole different ballgame in that if you have a president who is making irrational decisions because he has advanced Alzheimer's and he refuses to resign or things like that, or he's incapacitated, that might qualify. But what we're talking about here, to Ray's point, is they just don't like him. They just don't like him, and they wanted to use the 25th Amendment out of context to remove him. And so that raises a very good question, Ray, and not to mention you have these same people, they're heading up law enforcement and investigations into the president. So it definitely causes some conflicts there.
I'll tell you what. Now, this interview, as I said, is going to be on CBS 60 Minutes on Sunday night. Excuse me. But this morning they did play a little bit of what Andrew McCabe had to say to Scott Pelley. Andrew McCabe, in this interview, takes full responsibility for opening the investigation into President Trump, the Mueller investigation. Cut number one.
How long was it after that you decided to start the obstruction of justice and counterintelligence investigations involving the president?
I think the next day I met with the team investigating the Russia cases. I was very concerned that I was able to put the Russia case on absolutely solid ground in an indelible fashion, that were I removed quickly or reassigned or fired, that the case could not be closed or vanish in the night without a trace. I wanted to make sure that our case was on solid ground, and if somebody came in behind me and closed it and tried to walk away from it, they would not be able to do that without creating a record of why they'd made that decision.
Launching an investigation, and we now know the background to all of this. What was the FBI using as alleged proof of some kind of collusion between Trump and the Russians? They were using a dossier put together with the help of the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm. It was opposition research, basically.
Opposition right. research, which they took to a FISA court and didn't tell the FISA court the source mm-hmm. of this information. We know all of this now, but he's not apologizing. This interview was just done in the last few days. He's not apologizing for that. We had a Democrat Party and Democrat Party appointed people so upset that Donald Trump won the election, they were willing to do anything, including mislead the FISA court. He's facing, what, three charges, three indictments right now, Andrew McCabe?
Mm-hmm.
He was fired. He was let go because he misled a House committee, I believe it is, first off.
And he leaked to the media.
And he leaked to the media. This is scary, scary stuff. Devin Nunes, who is the California Republican, who was, did he chair the House Intelligence Committee when the Republicans were in control? He was asked about all this morning on Fox and Friends. Cut three.
You now know that the deputy director of the FBI was relying on Democratic paid for dirt that came from Russians to investigate another candidate in a political party for doing what? For supposedly colluding with Russians. It's absolutely absurd. They were definitely, they opened up a counterintelligence investigation into a political party based on dirt and opposition research from another political party. It's something that we never should do in this country. Every American should be outraged by this, but this has been buried by the mainstream media for years.
You know, Walker, I've been following politics since I was in the seventh grade, okay? I've never seen, I mean, we're talking Richard Nixon, Tricky Dick, and he had his Dirty Tricks group. I mean, there's been plenty of dirty tricks. Lyndon Baines Johnson, LBJ, was one of the worst in terms of using the government to punish. I mean, this goes all the way. I mean, this is not unusual, but I have never heard of anything quite like this.
Yeah.
This is really getting near frightening kinds of activities where you go, the next step is a coup. It's a takeover.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what, to Ray's point, that's what they were trying here because, you know, it's one thing to do opposition research. That's normal. That's every campaign does opposition research. It's a whole other thing to take that opposition research, repackage it, and put it in a FISA warrant application, which is a very high bar to meet, supposed to be, take that to a secret court, and then spy on American citizens that are a part of the Trump campaign.
Yes.
And so that's all what happened, and this all has to do with Hillary Clinton losing the election. It was the insurance policy. They met in Andrew McCabe's office. Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, James Baker, the Trump, the FBI attorney, and they all planned this insurance policy should Hillary Clinton lose. And that we're seeing the insurance policy played out now with Robert Mueller. So I'm surprised nobody's gone to jail. I don't know how you can lie to the FISA court and get away with it. Because if Trump's people lied to the FISA court and did a FISA warrant on Kamala Harris's campaign, there would be impeachment, there would be investigation, there would be special counsel. But it's a one way. The standard is a one way standard.
Hey, well, I've got a question, guys. What game is Andrew McCabe playing? What I mean is, why did he even say this? Because it had not come out. I mean, not as clearly as what he did in his interview with Scott Pelley. So what's his motivation for even bringing this out, knowing that on our side we'd react exactly the way we're reacting, talking about an attempted coup? What's the benefit to him for even saying this kind of thing?
Well, I'll just give a quick answer and then pitch it to Fred. But I think, personally, I think it's to sell books. Because this guy's going to need some money. Mm-hmm. This guy's going to need money. I'm assuming he has a family. He's going to have, you know, legal bills, and he wants to. This could make the book, you know, fly off the shelves, Fred. So I mean, this is the only reason to Ray's point. The only reason I can think of, he wants to sell copies of this book. He has to sell copies.
Well, I think he's trying to damp down also the indictments that he's facing as well. And somebody made the point this morning. What's ever happened to those?
Right. Criminal referrals.
Those have been happening. That's been sitting out there all these months now.
Right.
Why isn't something moving? And then final point on this one, I guess we're ready to move on. Perhaps by the end of today, we'll have a brand new attorney general, William Barr.
Right.
I think William Barr, his first order of business is to clean up the mess. Department of Justice, the FBI, you have got to do it. Because the public, if they're just listening to what McCabe has to say.
Right.
Rosenstein lied. They were actually thinking about putting a wire on Rosenstein to go listen to what the president tried to entrap him. I think William Barr has to do something to clear the air on this stuff. Enough is enough. You have Andrew McCabe saying, I'm taking responsibility for the Mueller investigation.
Yeah.
He's a Democratic Party hack.
Yeah.
Let's be very clear about this. So I think William Barr has to go in there. He has to clean house. That's it.
And I'll tell you something else. I hope that he goes after people who have broken the law. We're talking people who have leaked, that weren't supposed to. I mean, everything. Everything should be on the table. And if you have committed crimes and if you have, you know, I don't know whether you go back after Hillary Clinton or not, whatever, but they certainly need to go after those in the Justice Department who have broken the law right. and prosecute them.
Well, and also, and I said one more thing. This is unequivocal proof that what President Trump has been saying, a witch hunt,
yes.
this is what
yeah.
it is.
And that
this was a witch hunt.
And that he's been spied on.
Yes.
Now, maybe those words are not technically accurate, mm-hmm. but you're talking about Rod Rosenstein thinking seriously about wearing a wire to try to entrap the president.
Right. Yeah, and reading, you know, we talked about the McCabe referral. This was April of 18, so 10 months ago, the Inspector General of the Justice Department sent over a couple of criminal referrals to the U.S. Attorney's Office in D.C., and they've been sitting on that for 10 months.
Yeah.
But they can expedite the prosecution of Paul Manafort and Roger Stone.
Right.
But Andrew McCabe, it sits around for 10 months, and then who knows, it'll probably die out and it won't be prosecuted.
Here's one more thing. I keep saying one more thing.
All right.
Just before coming in the studio, I went through the Associated Press. Their stories this morning, not one mention of this.
Of this story right here?
Nope.
Not one mention of this story with the CBS interview?
My sources on all of this are the Daily Beast and Fox News.
Right.
Well, that's I shouldn't be surprised.
Right.
But this is a huge bombshell of a story. And you know what? A lot of times the mainstream media is dragged kicking and screaming into coverage of important news because Fox and alternative media sources mm-hmm. like the Daily Beast you said?
Yeah.
They're talking about it and the mainstream media is humiliated into covering these stories.
Yeah. So we'll wait and see.
All right. You got something for a minute and a half or
yeah.
one more thing maybe, Fred?
Well, around midnight last night, as we were all sleeping, the so-called bipartisan committee that came up with this continuing resolution that contains some money for a border wall, they finally released the whole resolution, which Congress is supposed to vote on today to avoid a shutdown tomorrow. It's including the explanatory pages on it, 1,700 pages.
All right, so that was released when? Last night?
Around midnight last night.
Midnight?
Yeah.
Ray, you gonna read it?
You
gonna
oh,
read it
man.
Before tomorrow just to be up on, maybe you just give your representative and senators a call?
Give them a call, right. So they're going to, it's what, how many pages do you say, 1,800, 1,700?
It's close to 1,700 pages with the explanatory notes.
1,700 pages, and they're supposed to vote on it tomorrow.
Supposed to vote on it today.
Oh, today.
Oh, today.
Because yeah. tomorrow is the deadline.
Oh, today's, right. tomorrow's the deadline.
Yeah.
So, because I've been hearing things, I think on Sandy Rios' show this morning, she was talking about the fact that, I guess since it was released last night, people have been frantically trying to go through it, that there may be language in there that allows states to veto mm-hmm. a federal wall on state. You know, so why in the world Republicans would vote for something like that and why the president might sign it.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is they waited till last night to get this thing out, 1,700 pages. Washington, D.C. is just broken.
And Republicans do the same thing. They yeah. used to do the same thing. It's yeah. not just Democrats.
You know yeah. what I thought about Nancy Pelosi? Got to pass right. it to find out what's in it. Affordable Care Act.
Well, I hope the president, this is what I hope, they have what's called a pocket veto. I think it's 10 days that he has before he has to either veto or sign the bill. If he doesn't sign it, it's called a pocket veto. But I think he should take some time to make sure he knows what's in it before he signs it. All right, look, we're going to take a two-minute break, 2-3 minutes. I forget what the break is. And we will be back with more of today's issues.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, on our spiritual heritage tour of Washington, D.C., we go to the Supreme Court. That's one of the places we go on day one, and we visit the inside chambers. We go to where the justices sit, and it's an amazing place to visit, the Supreme Court of the United States. We don't just look at the outside. We go to the inside and see where the justices sit and where oral arguments are heard. So that's just one of the places we visit on one of the days when Washington, D.C., and we also go to Mount Vernon, the home of George and Martha Washington. So we're going in September. June's full. September will be filling up soon. If you want more information on this Spiritual Heritage Tour, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. A third-party investigation has determined teenage boys from Covington Catholic High School did not provoke or instigate a confrontation at the Lincoln Memorial. The Diocese of Covington, Kentucky, authorized the investigation to find out what really happened when the boys encountered a Native American activist and homophobic Black Hebrew Israelites. The boys were brutally bullied by the mainstream media and Democrats and Hollywood, accused of racism. But the investigation found that not to be true. Nick Sandman, the boy at the center of the controversy, has hired a high-profile lawyer. He plans on suing a number of news outlets and celebrities. Those who spread lies about the boys should pay a price. And it should also serve as a lesson that just because a Catholic white boy is wearing a Make America Great Again hat does not make him homophobic, racist, or deplorable. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back. Ed Vitaglione sitting in for Tim Wildman. Today I'm joined by Fred Jackson, Walker Wildman, and Ray Pritchard. We want to welcome one of our most treasured guests, Jan Markell, founder of Olive Tree Ministries. She's host of the radio program Understanding the Times, heard on weekends on American Family Radio, Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. Central Time, and then Sunday from 12 to 1 p.m. Central Time. Jan, good morning to you.
Thank you. It's always a joy to be with you.
A joy to be with us. I love that when guests say that. It's a joy to be with us. Well, Fred, what kind of issues? We have a couple of things we wanted to toss to Jan and get her take on them.
Yeah, Jan, I'm sure you've been keeping up with what's going on in Warsaw, Poland. There's a Middle East conference that's been going on there over the last several days. Vice President Mike Pence is representing the United States there. Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel is there, a country that's not there, but it's the hot topic of the conference is Iran. And the other aspect of this that I find really interesting is that Vice President Pence has not shied away from criticizing other countries that aren't there to support the effort against Iran, and that's Britain and Germany and France. They didn't send any representatives there. In fact, there is word that those countries are trying to work around the U.S. sanctions against Iran. My question is, Jan, what side of this whole battle with Iran, terror-sponsoring nation, are these countries on?
You know, I think it's a really good question. And sometimes the only thing that answers a question like that is biblical references to kind of end times, strong delusion, because you really have to wonder who in the Western world, and sadly there appears to be many in the Western world, who really were just fine with that Iranian nuclear agreement of 2015, when in fact, I mean, isn't it obvious, isn't it just as clear as daylight that Iran is the destabilizer, probably along with Russia, but the destabilizer of much of the world? And not only that, but it's a country that when it makes threats, like we're going to annihilate this country or this country, they're actually planning to follow through on it. And yet these nations like France and Germany and a few others, mainly in Western Europe there, were just fine with that agreement. It's one thing for America, our administration, the Obama administration, to come up with that insane deal. It's another thing for vast number of countries to sign on to it back in 2014 and 15 when it's sheer lunacy. And I just think it fulfills the biblical references to all this end time strong delusion. We see it everywhere.
Well, and you know, Jan, we're taught this is Iran is not, I don't think, issuing idle threats. I mean, they're
exactly,
they have said we're going to erase Israel from the map.
That's right.
They are militarily preparing to do that.
That's right.
You know, their desire is to get nuclear weapons. I mean, these are not empty threats. This isn't
That's
hyperbole.
Right.
I mean, they want to do it, and they're becoming more and more capable of doing it.
And you would think that any logical thinking Western politician, Western Europe, whatever, U.S., Canada, you would think these Western politicians that this would be kind of no-brainer stuff for them, and that they would err on the side of caution rather than erring on the side where you'd start dealing with a nation that fulfills its promises like Iran intends to do. I don't think she'll probably get away. She's certainly not going to hurt Israel, because he that keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Psalm 120, God's not going to let Iran hurt Israel. But nonetheless, you would think educated Western diplomats would understand that when a nation like Iran makes these threats, they plan on following through. Now, you know, how successful they will be remains up to God, and I don't think right. they'll be very successful. That's not the point. This is a nation that follows through on what she's, because it's a, they're so evil that they love evil, they hate good.
Jan, could you circle back to the point about Bible prophecy? Because that's a very interesting take on the whole situation. When you look at what the Bible says about the last days and the
yeah.
end times coalition and so on, where does Iran fit in generally in end times prophecy?
Well, Iran's name was changed to Persia sometime, I think, in the late 1930s, maybe 1935 or somewhere around there. Iran, it used to be called Persia in ancient days. It was changed to Iran back in the 30s. And there is a coalition coming against Israel in the latter days. The context is Ezekiel 38 and 39. It's the war of Gog and Magog. And again, the participants are Persia or Iran, and the nation to the uttermost north, we believe that will be some parts of Russia, Turkey, Beth Togarma, some other nations, probably Sudan and probably Libya, are going to be a part of this Gog-Magog invasion of Israel in the last days. And that's the war which God takes over, because apparently not even America is participating in this war. The powers of the world are letting Israel have to sort of fend for herself. And then the context of Ezekiel 38:39 says that God intervenes and saves Israel in that war in some miraculous way, and they're burning weapons for 7 years and things like that, even burying the dead forever and ever. So, I mean, that could be very soon. It could be, who knows, 10 years away. We just don't know. But all we're saying, and that's really an appropriate question, is that the stage is being set even as we speak.
Jan, Fred again, it's
yeah.
it's kind of interesting to me here in this country that this tiny nation of Israel also has enemies, and those enemies are really behind the so-called BDS movement,
yeah.
boycott, divest, and sanctions against Israel. Well, at least one state, and that is the state of Mississippi, just in recent days, the House of Representatives in Mississippi has assigned or voted 88-10 on an anti-BDS move. Basically, what it says, that the state of Mississippi would not do any business with any entity, company, that endorsed the idea of boycotting, divesting, and sanctions against Israel. Do you see that as a real positive sign, and maybe it'll catch on?
I hope it will catch on. I think you folks in the South are a little bit more leaning conservative than some of us from, for instance, Minnesota, Michigan, those places where there's an enclave of hundreds of thousands of Muslim citizens and et cetera. But you know what, Fred, I hope what you say is true. I hope this will spread. But here's what gets to me, and here's what I'm even more concerned about. That would be the number of church denominations signing on to BDS. And there are many, many heavily mainline Protestants that are going along with, and let's just say for a moment, what is BDS? The boycott, divest, sanction is efforts to get anybody, but in the context of the churches, to get denominations to pull out any investments they have in Israel that would be of benefit to Israel so that we can hurt Israel and not help her. And when your average Presbyterian church is participating in this, some of the Methodists are participating in this, my question is, when does it start infecting the evangelical church? And I believe it will, because evangelicals are caving to social justice. Social justice is the new cry in some, not all, in some evangelical churches. And when we start beating the drum of social justice in the church, then we become proponents and advocates of the Palestinian cause, and we dump Israel, and then we sign on to BDS. So to me, that's a bigger warning sign ahead than what's going on in the legislature. But again, to answer your question, yeah, I hope what happened in Mississippi spreads. I hope and pray it does.
Well, and you know, Jan, I wasn't prepared to address this issue, so I didn't actually bring the study in. But I did read yesterday that at least one survey has found that evangelical millennials and younger have less support for Israel because of this social justice mantra that they've been exposed to, and really, in some churches, that's all they've heard about. Now, it isn't a huge drop, but it was, I think, 10 or 12 points less than their fathers and, you know, mothers.
Right.
So that to your point, that would be an area of concern. The more they hear that kind of language, the more they're going to fall for the rhetoric that Israel is the oppressor and the Palestinians are the victims, right?
Exactly, and that is the message that's being given. And it's been the case here for probably 15, maybe 20 years. Some of these youth conferences, and they'll have speakers that will be pounding away at the social justice cause. So these younger folks, the millennials and younger, it's kind of all they've heard for a lot of years now, and they are confused, but they're leaning in the direction of let's take care, let's kind of watch out for folks who might be the underdogs and cheer them, and let's kind of move our loyalty away from those who might be the oppressor. In their perception now, it's Israel who's the oppressor. It would be the Palestinian, the underdog. And so that's changing the face of how we look at things in the world and the church.
Our guest has been Jan Markell, who's founder of Olive Tree Ministries. She is host of the radio program Understanding the Times, heard on weekends on American Family Radio, Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m., and then Sunday from 12 to 1 p.m., both of those times central. Jan, any hint of what you might be talking about this weekend?
This weekend, I'm going to be running, Fred, I think you were a present. I'm going to be running a message from Understanding the Times, 2018, Amir Sarfati, an Israeli Bible and prophecy teacher. We're going to run his message given last September 29th. And I will save the topic. Folks can tune in. Okay. Amir is just an intriguing young man traveling the world, teaching the Bible and teaching Bible prophecy. So thank you for the opportunity here.
All right. Thank you, Jan, and God bless you and your ministry.
Right.
You have a lot of fans who are listeners of American Family Radio, so thank you for all you do.
Thanks, Matt. All right. Bye now.
All right. Jan Markell, founder of Olive Tree Ministries. She really is a favorite, just so insightful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Fred and any of you guys, Ray, let me, we didn't get a chance to hear from you too much here in that segment. It is concerning, this social justice message. We'll just take 60 seconds because we have our next guest waiting. This was, I didn't send you the story, but it is a little concerning to me that a lot of the young people are hearing so much of this social justice message and not the Bible when it comes to the matter of Israel.
It seems to me that behind a lot of this is real doubt in biblical authority. Has God really spoken? Because if you read the Bible and see what it says about Abraham and his descendants and the Jewish people leading up to the establishment of Israel in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, and to see the promises that God has made, to doubt what God has done for his own people, his chosen people, the Jewish people, is to doubt the word of God itself. And I think that's what's going on here, that we are looking to politics to give us an answer when God has spoken. When you doubt the Bible, when you doubt what it says, when you have questions about biblical authority, and then you turn to politicians to give you the answer, you're always going to end up in the wrong place.
Wow, just well said. Thank you for that, Ray. Folks, continue to pray for Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen. Continue to lift up that country and those people to God for his continued protection. There are some nations in the Middle East that, at least for the time being, may have sided with Israel, but make no mistake, ultimately, she is surrounded by wolves.
Yes.
And one day they're going to come calling. So just continue to pray for the country and pray for our nation, that our leaders will continue to stand with God's people. All right. Well, we're going to shift gears here, and we want to welcome David Harms of India Partners to the program. David, welcome.
Well, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to be here, and sure appreciate the campaign that's been going on to rescue girls out of the red light districts in India.
Well, Walker, just tell our listeners a little bit about this campaign, and then we're going to pitch back to David and and get some of his insights and his encouragement to our listeners, maybe to jump in here.
Yeah, for the past, I believe, almost 10 years, or the past 5 to 10 years, American Family Radio has been partnering with India Partners in the red light districts of Mumbai, India. And what we're doing there is sex trafficking, child trafficking, and prostitution are all struggles there and all widespread. And what we're doing is providing days and nights of safety for children who are escaping the red light districts of Mumbai, India. And so for $7.08, any of you, any of our listeners, can provide one day of safety, rescue, and child rescue and care for a child escaping the red light districts of Mumbai, India. So, David, tell our listeners, you've been there. My brother and Wesley Wildman and John Riley went there a couple weeks ago with you, and tell our listeners a little bit about what the struggle is over there, what the environment's like for these children.
Yeah, well, the amazing part of this is that due to the caste system, those on the lowest caste are really seen as servants to the upper caste, which means when it comes to this issue, there's really no moral compass, because the upper caste sees the lower caste as there to serve them, including what happens in the red light districts. So what happens now is that girls as young as 8, 9, 10 years old are trafficked in. They're, in many cases, can be literally kidnapped in and then sold, where now they are trapped in this business where they will be forced to serve anywhere from 18 to 20 customers a day. We talked to one when we were there just a couple weeks ago. She's now in her early 30s, but when she was 13, she was married off for the purpose of then eventually being sold off, and ended up underground in a room, no natural light, just a bed, and 18 to 20 customers a day. And by that point, she was 15 years old. So what we're trying to do here, and what we are doing, and what we have done, and this is where I get pretty excited, so I'll try to just stay calm, but I get excited because of the hope that we're bringing in Jesus' name. We operate both these centers right smack in the middle of the red light districts. We rent a place, and we set up there, and we start to befriend all these women, and we show them that there's a way to get out. We facilitate, as the Lord leads, the ability to get out of this scenario. And now that we have them out, we have to put them in someplace. And so the safe houses are where that happens, both for them and for the children that are born as a result of this work. So the safe houses are incredible places where we can offer full room and board, full-time private Christian school, private tutoring to catch children up academically, because when they come, they really are illiterate. Medical attention, trauma counseling, all of that done in the name of Jesus. And we're so excited by the partnership because it has allowed us to buy and now work through two brand new safe houses. And we hope more in the future as the funding comes in. So with that $7.08 that you mentioned, that is what it takes to underwrite one day for one girl in the safe house. So we've had a phone number set up. I'll happily give that and we can have more questions. But I love that we can do this for such a little amount. So if you had to give $100, you're underwriting one girl for 2 weeks in the safe house. $212 is a month. And you can just give as you're able and feeling called by God to give. But the number is 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396 or AFR.net. How'd I do? Did that cover everything?
You did great, David. Where our guest is David Harms of India Partners. David, I think it's hard for Americans to comprehend the depths of depravity that these young girls are experiencing in India. Now, I probably more Americans are aware of human trafficking over the last, you know, maybe 5 to 10 years, but still the idea of children, and you were, you know, using a word, you know, customers, because we do have children listening, and we know we have to be, you know, understanding of that. I hope our listeners understand what you mean, but we're talking about children, and you that picture of being kept underground with no natural light and having to do what these girls are forced to do. This is the depths of depravity that human beings are capable of, but the light of the gospel is shining even in that darkness. So when you say you're excited about it, God is beginning and continuing to do, because you guys have been there for a while, do something, and Christians have to get involved, right, David?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe, now, not everybody listening is called by God to give, but I think there are those that are called to give. I'll confess my own story here. I have five daughters, and literally for years, I knew about human trafficking, but I said, I can't even fathom it, so I'm just not going to do anything, because it was so heinous, right? It was like, I can't even think of that kind of thing happening to my daughter. So it was like, I'm just going to put my head in the sand, know that it exists, but because I didn't think I could do anything about it. It's like, well, what do you do? Here now, since being with India Partners, is like this we can do something about. And we know that it works. I'll give you the number again, and then I can give you some really good news just from a year ago. 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396. AFR.net has a link. We started working with American Family Radio a couple years ago. It was 7-8 years ago that we started. And I will tell you that since last year, the number of women able to get out, because we have the safe houses and because we keep on working differently, we have the funding to put these community centers right smack in the middle of the red light district. Because of that, the number of women and children that were able to get out last year, the number rose over 100% more women able to get out. And it's there because the funding is there to run the safe houses and the community centers. So your money that you've spent in the past is working, and we are getting that out, and we're able to present the love of Jesus to girls. And if we don't do that, then all we're doing is rescuing them from a physical thing. We know it takes both, because when they've been damaged so much by what's happened to them, only in the name of Jesus can they truly come to some sense of healing. When you've been forced to be with 18 to 20 men a day, you need Jesus to heal that. Only Jesus can do that. Mm. So there you go.
David, I suppose all of us who listen, we don't even know what to say. We're struck, we're frightened, we're overwhelmed by this. And I want to add, I'm so thankful for you and for your colleagues and all the folks at India Partners for the this is true Christian work. This is the front lines of gospel ministry. But just say again, what's the age range of the girls that you are rescuing from this horrific lifestyle who are coming into your safe homes? How young, how old? What's the average age of the girls that's coming in?
Well, when they come in, they can be, we've had them as young as five. I hate saying that, but that's true. Oh. We've had them as young as five. Typically, they're going to be in their early teens when they come. And let me just, if I could, explain why teens are such the desired person. It's just money. I'll just be blunt. Because, and this was a shocking statistic that I heard a couple of years ago, and I just confirmed it when I was there a few weeks ago with some members of the AFR team. If a girl is younger than 16, and that, I mean anything, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, whatever, up to about 16, the price that a customer pays is about $15. If they're over 18, it's about a dollar. So a younger child in this position is worth about 15 times more per encounter than a girl or a woman of 18 or older. So money is what drives the younger. And that just goes back to depravity and evil. And this is where, if we can be Jesus in this situation to rescue girls out and put them in a safe place, well, that's why we share the stories and ask people to give, because now you can do something. Hmm. And by supporting the safe houses and the work that is so effective in getting them out, you're actually saying, okay, enough. We're done. We've got to do something. And that's why we appreciate when anybody calls with any amount, that number that we've given. And if I might be so bold, let me give the number first, but 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396. Whatever you give is great. If you yourself want to just say, I want to keep one girl safe for an entire year, it's $2,560. So I know some people do that, and they can wake up every day of the next year knowing that as a girl safe over in India who was rescued out. But whatever you give is important. I would just love to see about 10 more people that could jump in here quickly and just say enough's enough and make the phone call. That's just me being my type A personality.
And $7.08 provides one day of safety rescue and care for a child escaping the red light areas of Mumbai. Now, a day in a safe house includes full room and board, full-time Christian school, private tutoring, medical attention, counseling, and sharing the love of Jesus. So, folks, before we let David go, just want to give that number again. This week is it for us. It was all last week. It's this week. We're asking you to give to India Partners this ministry. The number is 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or you can give online at afr.net. David, we are out of time. There is the music. Thank you so much for all that India Partners does, these poor children. Thank you for being on the front lines.
Well, a pleasure to share the stories. God bless you, and thanks for calling and all that you're doing to rescue girls.
And folks, we'll be here on American Family Radio. You'll be hearing more about this throughout the day at India Partners, but we encourage you to give right now, 877-616-2396, or you can give online at afr.net. We're going to take a 5-minute break for news, and we will be right back.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.